Green Country Gardener. Green Country Gardener brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlays Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass. And it is a Saturday morning, and Larry Glass behind the other microphone set for another edition of Green Country Gardener. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Charlie. How are you today?
It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Sunshine, 56 degrees, headed for a high temperature around 84 or so. Mm-hmm. Perfect gardening weather.
We can sure tell you are out of town this week because it rained. Yes, thank you very much.
Just let me know when I need to leave again, and as long as Kevin says it's okay, we'll get it done.
As soon as the cactus start blooming, you need to leave town.
GCG, another edition of GCG.
Yeah. Green Country Gardener.
That's it.
Yep. Hey, golly, today we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got a lot of annuals out there at the nursery.
Okay.
It's a weekend of heavy trading at the nursery, if you will, because there's so much to do in the garden.
Well, there is.
And to help things out, we have a couple of Million Bells hanging baskets.
Million Bells?
Million Bells.
Yeah.
Wow.
Million Bells is a kind of a miniature petunia.
Mm-hmm.
And Calabrochia is the genus.
Okay.
But anyway, they're very kind of drought tolerant,
mm-hmm.
and easy to grow. They'll be one of the few hanging baskets that actually stays a hanging basket for an entire season.
Yes.
Just be careful, don't overwater them, and they'll do just fine.
Okay. So that's the only real problem is if they get doused too much.
Yeah, they tend to stem rot pretty bad if they get too much water. But anyway, the Million Bells is a good plant, not only as a hanging basket, but also in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And they've come out with so many new fun varieties.
So it's not just your grandmother's hanging a million bells anymore.
No. So it's kind of different. And you have some different variations in the flower, some variegation
mm-hmm.
in the flower in different colors. And they're kind of pretty plants. We have a whole bench dedicated to a million bells.
Okay.
Out front. Plus millions of baskets around.
Millions and millions of baskets.
Millions and millions and millions. Anyway, that's an interesting plant. It adapts very well to our climate. Unfortunately, it does like well-drained soil.
Which is why you put it in a hanging basket, because a lot of this area doesn't have well-drained soil.
Exactly, yeah.
I think, you know what I think? I think our soil has flex seal in the bottom of it.
Flex seal.
You know, that. You know, you can make a boat out of a screen door with that stuff.
You just smear a bunch of mud on a boat.
I know, so I think that's what our soil's got down in there is flex seal. It just holds it.
Golly.
There are times I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah. But anyway, that's kind of the way it is. So you can always prepare that soil in front of my house this early on in the spring. I put 20 bags of compost.
You did?
Bed, yes. And it's only about 100 feet long and probably 4 feet wide. So, yeah. And golly, the annuals are doing great.
I've got to get my chainsaw out today. I'm going to work on a few things.
You got to pinch your petunias? The only person I know who pinches his petunias with a chainsaw.
It's just his implement of choice, I guess.
Right. Yeah. And those big old diesel-powered hedge trimmers. You ought to see that.
I have that. I got those things out.
It's a 3,000-pound set of hedge clippers. It's incredible.
But they will trim through anything.
You bet.
Gosh, and I tell you, I've got more volunteer lacebark elms coming up.
Yeah, they tend to do that, yeah.
Man, lots of them.
Well, put them in pots and...
I was going to say, open up your own plant sale.
Boy.
Lacebark elms make very good windbreaks.
They do?
Oh, yeah, they're very tough plants.
Apparently tough to get rid of, too.
Boy.
Yeah.
I mean, I like them.
Oh, yeah, they're good plants, yeah. We've planted some around town. They do extraordinarily well in any kind of soil.
They don't care.
They don't care. They're good plants.
No.
They don't get Dutch elm disease. Get that out of your mind, Kevin. They don't get Dutch elm
disease. No, I know they don't.
No, that's a Chinese. The lace bark is a Chinese elm.
Chinese elm. Boy, look out for those.
What I really like about them is...
Donald Trump got the Chinese elms. That's what he did. He got them.
Oh.
Anyway, what I really like about it is the bark. When they get mature, the bark is very interesting.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it looks like camouflage.
Mm-hmm. I know. It. They peel. It just peels.
How appealing, yes.
Yes, it's so appealing.
It's a good plant, really. And they're fairly deeply rooted. And they're very tolerant of about any kind of soil, as are a lot of elms.
Mm-hmm.
They make good street trees because they are so tolerant. And their root system is somewhat fibrous. It doesn't have these great, big, giant, like, sweet gums that come out and buckle sidewalks and things.
Buckle them up.
No. This is a very well-behaved. It's not a huge tree, by all means. The Chinese elm is not that big a tree. It's not like a big, mighty oak or something. It's a bit more compact, a bit more petite, if you will, than your big oak. So it could be used in difficult places.
I've got several of them.
Yep.
And now I have lots of them.
Yeah, and the seeds blow up the street and wind up in my flower bed. So thank you very much.
Seeds do exactly what they're supposed to do.
Right. Anyway, it is time to start fertilizing that Bermuda grass.
Okay.
Yep.
And I'm going to give mine a shot of urea this week.
Yeah, but why are you giving it urea?
Because it needs the nitrogen.
Yeah, that's
primarily.
What's the secondary purpose?
Secondarily, I have noticed, personally, I don't know if everybody has experienced this, but I've noticed a somewhat reduction in mold damage after applying urea.
They don't like that urea, do they?
I've made that observation in my garden.
Put urea down and you get rid of your molds.
I will.
Is that our new mold cure?
I will report further on that because I'm not saying it's going to work, but it has worked for me in the past.
Okay.
So I haven't read any documentation on it anywhere else, but
I went out to the nursery last weekend because I had some boxwoods, the tall ones. What do you call them? That look like
green tower boxwoods.
Yeah, tower boxwoods.
I find those to be intolerant of drought.
Intolerant?
Yes.
Well, they're intolerant of too much water, too.
Well.
And because I had them on the corners of the house that you put in, by the way.
Yeah.
And they end up dying because too much water standing there. So I went and got new ones, and I got Happy Frog. Put a whole bunch of Happy Frog in
there.
That's
what that noise is coming from your house at night.
I got a whole bunch of that Happy Frog.
That's good stuff.
And I mixed it all in down there, so we'll see what happens now.
It should do okay. They like porous soil. Porous soil that doesn't tend to dry out and doesn't hold water. Once they get established...
Doesn't dry out, but doesn't hold water. That's an oxymoron, isn't it?
In other words, they have a fairly narrow range of tolerance.
You're saying they're picky.
They're picky little boogers.
Yeah, I guess you could put it simply. Yes, they are picky. But if they're planted in well-prepared soil, they should do just fine. We planted some at the corner of Keeler and Frank Phillips.
I'd like them to get about 6 foot tall.
We did that about 5 years ago. And these guys, they're up on those terraces over there on the Frank Phillips Tower.
Uh-huh.
They're 8 feet tall. Narrow, beautiful thing. Nobody has ever touched them.
They don't grow out. They just grow up.
In the 5 years they've been planted there, nobody has even touched them, except for automatic irrigation, which works some of the time. So they've done very well. And we prepared the hound out of the soil. Primarily,
you put Happy Frog in it?
We used... actually, we used potting soil in there. It had to be lightweight, just for weight concerns on the structure over there, that corner. We made a really light soil mix, and they've done very well. So a lightweight soil that's very breathable, such as what Happy Frog will provide. And we do have Happy Frog in the big bales.
Yeah, we got one, and it said it has bat manure in it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that true?
It's on the bag.
I know. It says bat manure.
Bat guano, yeah.
All right. Same thing.
I haven't. Right. Yeah, I imagine it does.
Where do they get bat manure at?
From the bat mobile?
Much of it.
Have you been to Austin, Texas?
Well, I know, but that, yes.
They get it from Batman's latrine. That's where they get it.
I said, man, that's a lot.
Guano is what it is, and they get it from caves and whatnot. So it's pretty good for your plants. It's got a lot of nutrients in it.
Well, I put it in. You're ringing, Larry.
I know. What else is new? I can't answer it. I'm on the air. So anyway.
That's right. You can't answer.
I don't answer that when I drive or anything else. It just rings and rings. I'm going down the road. But anyway. So anyway, Happy Frog is good for your plants. But the important thing is a good, well-prepared soil, not only on the green tower boxwoods, but just about everything like that.
Especially around here.
Yes.
We live on
We
Mars.
Have had great success with green towers planted in an area that's well-drained. And we've had great failures.
I've had failures.
In green towers in areas where it's not well-drained. So
I've had failures.
We've all had some, and we learn from that. And I learned that when we do plant green towers, we bring some potting soil with us and really prep up the soil. It does just fine. Red alert.
What's that?
That's well, a message. Anyway.
A message from the wife.
No. So anyway, it's getting that time of year when we're going to start to get some insect infestations coming in. I haven't seen a lot of flies. Where are the flies?
They'll be here this week. They're coming
anyway,
this week.
But I've noticed
warm enough.
It's getting that time where we're going to have to start being concerned about those tent caterpillars. I've seen some outbreaks already of tent caterpillars.
They love pecan trees and oaks, oaks.
Some of the prunus trees, the peaches, some of the native prunus persica, that's peach, some of the native cherry trees.
Oh, okay.
Better known as webworms, right?
Webworms, yes.
Okay.
I've noticed
for something. For the all out there that want the webworms.
Wife and I were walking at the Arboretum, and I noticed some over there on some members of the prunus family.
And all you do is spray them with soapy water.
Soapy water works great.
Dawn dish soap.
We use Dawn dish soap when we prepare the soil for azaleas to saturate the peat moss. Works
really?
Great. Oh, it works great. If you want to get peat moss moist, we use an injector. Which is a little thing you put on your hose. It's a 16-to-1 ratio of injection into the water. I used it on my flowers last night, in fact, to put some fertilizer on the flowers. Use that injector on the hose. And it's very effective. It just a squirt or two in a 5-gallon bucket and put this thing in there, and that water just goes, soaks right into that peat moss.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. It's called a surfactant.
Surfactant, wetting
surfactant.
Agent.
Yeah. That's what you...
Yeah, peat moss, when they harvest the peat moss, it goes through a drying process, and then it's packed together, because freight is so expensive. They take the water out of it. Who wants to ship water? That's crazy.
I had a guy spraying weeds and says, where do you get a surfactant? And I said, just put some soap in there.
Yeah.
It'll work.
Yep. They do make a...
It'll stick then.
surfactants, per se, which are, you know, you're familiar with that. And the spreader stickers are the ones you really want to use if you're really serious. But just soap works fine as a substitute.
Especially a low-sudsing soap. You know?
You think?
I prefer the low-sudsing soap.
Yeah. Sure.
When I'm spraying with it.
But, as the nighttime temperatures increase, we're going to beginning to have some problems with mites.
Bugs.
In your boxwoods. Yeah. Lace bugs are going to start coming around in your azaleas. I haven't seen them yet. Mm-hmm. I go to people's house and I run my hand through their azaleas. I think, what are you doing? I'm looking for lace bugs. And that will tell me if they've got some lace bugs. And there are some systemic insecticides that will work against lace bugs on azaleas. And you need to get after that pretty soon. The imidacloprid, or the soil drench, we call it. Bear.
I use some already.
Yeah. And what it is a nicotinoid, it works in the nervous system of the insect.
I put them around the arborvitas.
Yeah, that will reduce the...
The bagworms.
Bagworms, yes.
Because they'll eat them up and like...
Yeah, remember that time I went to your house and said, Kevin...
24-hour period, they're gone.
This thing is covered in bagworms. You go, huh? Oh, yeah. It get away from me because you drive right by it every single day and you don't notice it until it's too late.
And I'm telling you, in just a 24-hour period, they have chewed it up.
Yeah.
But I poured that around all those.
Good. So
about a month ago, 6 weeks ago.
It has some immunity to that. And it lasts a fairly long period of time. It stays
supposed to a year, but I'm not sure it does.
Another thing that's a problem on your spruce and your arborvitae and your mugel pines and your azaleas and your boxwoods are mites. The imidacloprid will not work against mites. You have to use Dicystone for that because it's ineffective against mites.
There's even a dust for that, isn't there?
Mite dust?
Is there a Disist on dust?
No. I think you're thinking seven, but...
Seven.
Yeah, seven dust. Use that for hornworms and things on your...
All right, Larry, I got to go get the chainsaw started.
Yeah, go get that 3,000-pound hedge clipper going.
Well, it's a sound that you recognize from...
Sounds like a track strip down there.
You know, we were talking about the Blue Atlas Cedar.
I used to do those commercials.
Yeah, the Blue Atlas Cedar is a good plant.
That Roger Skelly knocked the top of it out of. What if I took those hedge trimmers and just trimmed up the sides of it?
You can make it kind of a... this kind of a specimen. It's kind of horizontal and a bit of an oriental appeal to it with that way because it's not going to do much vertical growth at all. It's going to have more of a horizontal.
It's just going to get wide.
It's just going to get wider.
Can I transplant it?
Why? Yeah,
put
you
it
could.
Out there.
Yeah, you could, but not now. Wait till December.
Okay.
Or you could transplant it. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it'll grow. It's been relatively cool. We've had some good moisture. Maybe it'll make it. Get your bucket on your tractor and go all the way around it.
Good sharp shovel.
Yeah. And then try to scoop it out. Maybe it'll make it.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's the one that was over close to the house over there on the west side, wasn't it?
Correct.
Yeah.
In the southwest corner there.
Uh-huh.
But I'd like something more slender anyway.
Wouldn't we all?
We'll take a break, and right, we will continue with your phone calls, 800-749-5936, the number that gets you on Green Country Gardener. We'll continue in 2 minutes on a Saturday morning.
Talking with Brent at United Rentals, you've also got generators?
Yep, generators for bad weather.
And chainsaws and... pruner chainsaws as well for you to be able to get up high if you don't want to go up in the cherry picker, but you still have some branches you want to trim.
Yep, we've got our long pruning saws, 14 foot. We've also got chainsaws if you need to trim some trees around your place. 3801 Southeast Nowata Road, 918-333-9580.
Springtime at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses means new hours, new shipment of plants, and discount Wednesdays. Green Thumb is now open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30, and Sunday, noon to 5. And they are busy with new shipments of trees, shrubs, annuals, perennials, and herbs that are arriving each week. And during discount day every Wednesday, receive 10% off regular priced items. But only at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants.
When you need the help of a good mechanic, ABS Performance is where you need to go. They can do everything from a simple oil change to a full-blown transmission and engine replacement. No job is too big or small, and having the right mechanic for general and complete automotive care is important. They'll keep your vehicle up to date on oil changes and routine maintenance. Seek the help of a good mechanic. Head to ABS Performance on Price Road next to the Washington Park Mall in Bartlesville. Phone number 918-333-4420.
At American Heritage Bank, our free mobile banking app allows you to monitor the balances of your accounts and experience personalized banking right at your fingertips. Pair with our free text alerts and you now have a simple, on-the-go, secure method of managing your money. Visit us at ahb-ok.com or by stopping by one of our convenient locations today. American Heritage Bank, member FDIC.
(800-749-5936) the telephone number to get you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Larry Glass in to take your garden calls. 800-749-5936.
Oh, Kevin Potter, he has more fun in his garden.
Yes, he does.
So anyway, we were talking about the onslaught of. Oh, by the way, don't forget our Million Bells hanging basket. We're going to give some away today.
Okay, to whom?
The lucky caller.
Okay.
So call in for your questions, and there's a $20 value. It's a pretty good deal.
800-749-5936, the number to call.
So far, everybody who's called in has won one.
Yes, so, I've noticed that right away.
So anyway, okay.
I've got all the names right here on this paper.
So anyway, go ahead.
I'm just going to say we were talking about million bells and hanging baskets. It's a good time to get them out there and really enjoy them because, it's the right time for me.
Well, another thing about a hanging basket is they make an initial big impact in the garden. If you just take them out of the hanging basket and put them in the ground, bam, you got instant establishment. So that's kind of another, and some of our people buy those just for that reason.
Well, sure.
They say you want the hangers, you know. But anyway, so they're very good.
Well, you've already chosen because they're ready to go right now, whether you just take them out of the car and hang them by the door or whether you do something else with them.
Yeah, but just don't forget to water them once in a while.
Yeah.
But anyway, mites on the boxwoods, coming at lace bugs and azaleas, watch for slugs. We've had some pretty good rain lately, so watch out for those. They like beer, so it's a great time maybe to set some traps if you have a perpetual problem with slugs.
Okay.
Beer traps work pretty well. yeah, really. So make sure your rain sensor is on, your irrigation system is working properly.
Yes, this is an important thing as we work to save water. And
I've seen a lot of wasted water out there.
I'll bet you do. We've got a call coming in, and we'll say good morning, caller. You're up with Larry Glass on the air. What can we do for you this morning? Good morning.
My husband loves green. Yeah, good morning. My husband loves green onions, and I'm getting my first crop.
Uh-huh.
Can I plant some more and still get them? And even though it's really going to get hot,
They'll do fair. They're kind of a cool season plant. Uh-huh. If they were available, you know, if you can find them somewhere, sure, go ahead and give it a try.
Okay.
But it's primarily at this point in time a factor of availability.
Actually, I've seen quite a few left over.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Yeah, but again, we're past best time, but they should perform for you for another month or so.
Yeah, you should be able to. I'm going to pull up some green onions for my eggs in the morning tonight. So.
The other question is, you were talking about the surface. For the peat moss, I didn't get the how much soap to water.
Oh, probably about 3 tablespoons and a gallon of water.
Oh, a gallon. Okay.
Yeah, and then you put your if you have an injector, you can or a Siphonex is what it's called. It siphons the chemical in with the water as you water. We've got them at the nursery. They're about $20, and it's a real handy thing too.
But if she just uses a gallon jug, 3 gallons of water.
Yeah, just a couple of tablespoons work just fine on that.
Okay.
And your first name, please?
Barbara. I had one other question. I have a bag of peat moss that's set up for a year.
Right.
And it's gotten some rain on it. If it's totally wet, do I still need to do that?
It's fine. It's already saturated. When we get our peat moss in the bags, it's probably almost 1,000 years old anyway. So, it's nothing new about peat moss.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for calling, Barbara.
Thank you very much, Barbara. We have another call coming in, and we'll say good morning. You are up on the air with Larry Glass. Good morning. What can we do for you today?
Good morning. Hey, I had a question about my apple trees. The petals have fallen and everything now. Should I continue spraying that with neem or what?
Yes. Yeah, you want to spray it according to the directions.
Okay.
Anything
else?
I like to use spinosad as well.
What's that again?
Spinosad is an organic type insecticide.
Okay. All right.
And it works very well. I do it on my plums. When they do produce plums this year, they got frozen out.
Yeah.
So my trees are fallow, but golly,
yeah,
I didn't
I didn't know whether mine had froze out or not because of the freeze, but...
Yeah, but yeah, I lost both my plum trees, bloom-wise or fruit-wise, but I got a couple of cherry trees that are putting on some. So
yeah,
the spinosad and the neem oil are very good organic controls for fungus and insects.
Okay, I appreciate that.
And your first name?
Roger.
Roger. Okay, Roger, thank you.
Thank you very much,
you
Roger.
Bet. Thank you.
Appreciate your phone calls this morning. 800-749-5936, the telephone number that gets you on the air. This is Green Country Gardener. We'll take a break and continue with more of your phone calls in just 2 minutes.
If your yard is not flourishing, consider this. Talk to the experts at Enterprise Sod Store. They will tell you that sod is the answer to an instant yard and is mostly weed-free. Enterprise Sod has three kinds of sod: Bermuda, Zoysia, and Fescue. They'll pick up and deliver your sod and train you how to install and care for your sod. If you're a current or new homeowner or a landscaper or contractor, call the sod experts at Enterprise Sod Store, 918-333-6888. Stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Show off your home's curb appeal with quality products from Peter's True Value in Dewey. Like Scotch Turf Builder Fertilizer. Get 5,000 square feet of coverage for only $14.99 after a $2 mail-in rebate. Specially formulated for southern lawns, this fertilizer feeds and strengthens against heat and drought without burning. Plus, it's kid and pet friendly. Stock up on this bargain of the month while supplies last. Peter's True Value in Dewey. Limit 2 rebates per household. Consumer responsible for taxes and fees.
Hey, at our startup, my team and I move at the speed of tech 24/7. And every single day, it's information overload. It's coming at me from all directions. And you know what? Bottom line, I just need the news that matters. So where do I turn? Local radio and TV. I want to hear from people who live and work in my town. They give me the real story with information I know I can rely on. So where else can I find out what's happening in my community? Weather and traffic, things that affect my family and my business. I want to stay informed by sources I trust. My local radio and TV stations. For the best entertainment, sports, news, traffic, and weather, with no agenda and more reliable than other platforms. So if you ask me for the information I want anytime, anywhere, I stay local. Support your local station. Text radio to 52886 today. Furnished by the NAB and this station. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
Locally 918-336-1400, the number that gets you on Green Country Gardener on a Saturday morning. Larry Glass in to answer your garden questions. And, of course, this time we have the added inducement of some hanging baskets of million bells.
Exactly. Also, things going on today, or this time of year, the clematis are blooming nicely.
Yes, they are.
And when I fertilize those, I like to do it kind of gently.
Okay.
3 teaspoons to the gallon solution of Miracle-Gro, or not a really, really strong fertilization that tends to singe the flowers a little bit.
Okay.
So just light fertilization at this point in time on the clematis.
You got a caller? Good, we do. Good morning, caller. You're on the air with Larry Glass. What can we do for you this morning?
Yes, good morning. What can you spell that stuff you said to put on with neem?
Neem oil,
N-E-E-M? Yeah, N-E-E-M. You said something, I couldn't tell you.
Spinosad.
Okay, how do you spell that?
S-P-I-N-O-S-A-D.
S-P-N-I-O.
S-P-I-N-O. Spino-S-A-D. Spinosad.
Oh, okay.
It's a synthesis between spinosin A and spinosin B.
And, well, if I get close, find something close to that, I'll get that.
Did
you put the neem oil first or after or both?
I use them in a similar time applications. It's not really that matter that much.
And is it not a good time to put on insecticide if we still got flowers on our stuff? You don't want to put it on the flowers, do you?
You do not, because of the bees are susceptible. So you want to wait till that. There's just that.
Neem oil wouldn't hurt that, will it?
The neem oil will probably reduce the pollination because it has a tendency to seal things up a little bit.
But as far as the damage,
to leave them alone, huh?
Damage to it's not toxic to the pollinators. You're saying you'll get a less pollen on the plant, right?
Right. Yeah. It'll just seal up the stamens on the on the flowers, and but so when fruit trees are in bloom, just don't do anything.
Okay, I'm not going to do anything then because I don't want to mess up my.
Yeah.
With that late freeze, I'm worried about crop enough. So,
yeah, I know I'm going to have to apply for some kind of a crop insurance thing on my plum trees.
Yeah, well, I think they might have all. You know, I've seen worse and haven't come out, so it should be all right.
But yeah, the trees are fine. It just didn't produce any fruit this year. But But they need a year's rest anyway. They've worked pretty hard the last few years.
Mysterious way. There you have it.
Pardon?
And the Lord works in mysterious ways. If he wants them to rest them, he'll do that.
You bet. It's just the way things work.
Yeah.
Okay, Roger, thanks for calling.
Appreciate your call, Roger. Thank you very much. And 800-749-5936, locally 918-336-1400, gets you on the air for Green Country Gardener this morning.
You bet. Okay, so we talked about clematis.
Yes.
Use on your roses,
mm-hmm.
time to beef up the fertilization a little bit on those, too.
Okay.
And so they can have some nicer, bigger blooms.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have that stuff to feed on. So just a rose fertilizer, basically anything that has some emphasis on blooms will work fine for roses. Tomato fertilizer works. Bulb fertilizer works well.
Okay.
Whatever.
Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Larry Glass. What can we do for you today?
Yes, I was just curious if it's too late to plant some beets right now, and if you guys carry sweet potato.
I think he cut out.
I would say, well, caller, if you're still there, let's try this again. It was too late to plant something, but I didn't quite catch it.
We didn't. Neither one of us could hear what.
Who?
Beets.
Oh, beets.
Beets.
I don't think so. No.
I wouldn't think so.
No.
Okay.
No.
And I was wondering if you had sweet potato.
I'm sorry. Well, the cell connection is just not real good. Go ahead. Ask it.
Really? One. Sweet potatoes?
Sweet potatoes. No, we don't have any of those. No.
You don't carry any of those?
No.
So it's good to go ahead and plant some beets then.
Yeah, it should be great.
Great. Okay.
Your first name?
All righty. Pardon?
Your first name, please.
Tim.
Okay. Thank you very much, Tim. We appreciate the phone call. You should be good. And if you can find some place that stocks sweet potato, you probably would be okay there, too. You might have a little bit of a late crop, but you should be good. Good morning, caller. You're next up on the air. What can we do for you today?
Yes. I was wondering how to kill your dandelions.
How to kill your dandelions? Well, set the cows on it.
Oh, okay.
Well, why would you want to kill your dandelions?
They're pretty.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Dandelions are full of vitamin A. They're a superfood, really.
But if she doesn't want them.
If you don't want them, no. Use a broadleaf herbicide. Works real well on those.
Will it work right away or
it,
what?
It takes a few days. You'll notice right away after you put it on there the next day, depending on the formulation, you notice a curling of the stems. And an elongation of the vascular tissue in there, and it'll just sort of curl it around, and that's they basically grow themselves to death with the 2,4-D.
Okay.
Anything with a picture of a dandelion on it would work fine.
Oh yeah, there's a ready to use mix if you just want to spot spray. That's probably one of the better ways, unless you got just a ton of them. So we got.
Quite a few.
So you probably might want to get a concentrate. It's okay to do it now. And be careful about the wind if it's really windy, because it will blow into something you like. One time, a neighbor killed off my roses spraying his dandelions. So be very careful with the wind. That's the only drawback.
We sure don't want to do that.
It's non-selective, so it will knock off dicots. Anything with two seed leaves on it. So, anyway, and your first name?
Darlene.
Okay, Darlene, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call this morning. And again, phone lines are open if you'd like to get on the garden line and get your questions asked. Of course, we do have up to the first, looks like about eight callers will be a winner, or at mm-hmm. least we'll select eight winners if we have more than eight.
You remember dicots and monocots.
I sure do. Yeah, it was on that Science Quest, fourth grade, fifth grade, somewhere along in there. I don't remember exactly. Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Larry Glass. What can we do for you today?
Hi, I have a question. Yes. I have these little, it looks like, ant hills.
Yes.
I'm not really so sure what they are.
Uh-huh.
But there's like some flying ants.
Sounds like it might be termites.
Is that a termite?
Yeah. The ants also have queens that fly around, too, and worker bee or whatever they are.
No, like the queen has wings. I don't know if the... Yeah, worker bees do, too, yeah.
Yeah, so it could be either ants or termites.
and what do I do to get rid of them?
there's a wide variety of insecticides that are effective against ants. So around my house, I like to use the ant traps. I find them to be very effective in keeping the populations under control around the house.
Okay, is that A-M?
Just a trap, yeah. It's a little plastic thing you stick in the ground, and then they're attracted to it, and it wipes out the entire colony, you know. So you just look in the Lowe's store or the Walmart or something. They have them in their insect. They're just ant traps, and you put them in various intervals around the house, and that'll control them rather significantly.
Okay. Well, great. Thank you.
And your first name?
My name is Sharon.
Sharon.
Oh. Thank you very much, Sharon. We appreciate your phone call. And I think we have another caller waiting on the line. Good morning. You're on with Larry Glass. What can we do for you today?
Yes, I have a spot of chrysanthemums, and they're probably about 4 feet wide. And right in the edge in the middle of it, it's like there was a bug or something working on them. I couldn't find it, but what else could I spray on them?
Something's eating the middle part of your chrysanthemum?
No, they were just like dying.
Okay. It's not unusual for perennials to grow and multiply and spread out and form kind of a donut shape over time. Mm-hmm. It's not an unusual happenstance.
So, appearance-wise, what can she do to
transplant some from the outside and put them in the middle, perhaps. Or if you were to cultivate the soil and clear out the dead vegetation, their chances are it'll probably spread back in.
Oh. But there's no spray for it?
Well, I don't think it's an insect or anything like that. I think it's just the nature of the plant.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, these were, I'm going to call them a hybrid. I don't know, but they were real different and pretty.
Right. But, when a lot of your perennials do that, when they spread outwards, in a circle outwards, the middle part will die out.
Okay. So. And you're always telling us to trim back our clematis. Well, I was afraid to, but this year I did.
Uh-huh.
And it's not 3 feet tall, but it is like a little bush, and it's just covered with blooms.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good practice to trim that off. It does increase its blooming.
Right. Well, it has. It's really helped. So, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And your first name?
Judy.
Judy. Okay, thanks for calling, Judy.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your phone call. 800-749-5936, the telephone number to call. And let's go ahead and take this phone call before we take another break. Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Larry Glass. What can we do for you today?
Yes, I know the forsythia have already bloomed, but can one be planted now, or is it best to wait till fall?
Oh, yeah, container stock can easily be planted right now. There's no problem. They're aggressive enough to take root before the heat gets here. No problem.
Okay. That's what I needed to know.
Did you know that forsythias are members of the olive family?
No, I didn't.
Well, they are.
I do know the last one I planted died, so I'm going to try one more.
Okay.
Hey, that takes talent.
That's right.
All right. And your first name is?
Thank you.
Thank you. Now she chose not to, apparently. We'll take a break and continue with more of your phone calls on Green Country Gardener coming up in just a moment.
She's always been there.
She encouraged me when I didn't even believe in myself.
The cooking, cleaning, laundry, rides. I can't begin to list all the things my mom has done for me.
You can recognize your mom and give her a special gift, too, in the My Mom's Priceless Contest. Simply stop by one of the businesses giving away a prize to register. Today through Thursday, May 10th. We'll be giving away a daily prize on the radio weekdays at 8 a.m. to One Mom. The daily prize will be two passes to the current exhibition and tower tour at Price Tower Arts Center and My Amazing Mom Chicken Soup for the Soul. Then on Friday, May the 11th, just in time for Mother's Day, we'll draw for the grand prize from all entries.
One night at the Inn at Price Tower, a gallery tour and a tower tour for two. $20 Copper Bar gift certificate.
$300 ladies shopping spree from Dillard's Washington Park Mall.
Flower arrangement from Cynthia's No Water Floral, gifts and more.
$50 Visa gift card from Truity Credit Union.
Dinner for two from Sterling's Grill.
Bouquet from Flowerland.
Choice of Sterling Silver Miller's Ring from Wendell's Rock and Jewelry Shop.
Mineral Sunshield, Clinsoderm MD Therapeutic Moisturizer from Hill Dermatology.
A $25 gift certificate from Keepsake Candles.
$25 gift certificate from Frank and Lola's.
A gift certificate from Fusion Massage. A runner-up prize will also be drawn for an overnight one-night stay at the Inn at Price Tower, a gallery tour, and a tower tour for two. $20 Copper Bar gift certificate.
So stop by each of these businesses and register in the My Mom's Priceless contest.
Springtime at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses means new hours, new shipment of plants, and discount Wednesdays. Green Thumb is now open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30, and Sunday, noon to 5. And they are busy with new shipments of trees, shrubs, annuals, perennials, and herbs that are arriving each week. And during discount day every Wednesday, receive 10% off regular priced items. But only at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road, Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants.
(800) 749-5936, the telephone number to get to you on Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Larry Glass answering your garden questions, and we have a full bank of phone lines, so we'll get right to the calls and say good morning. You're on the air with Larry Glass. What can we do for you today? Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is it too early to fertilize your Bermuda grass?
No, it isn't. Bermuda grass is actively growing right now. I intend on doing mine this weekend. On Sunday. but it's just time to start that. It is May.
So it is a good time. Okay, great.
All righty.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for calling.
Appreciate your phone call. May, June, July, and August, and then stop on the fertilizing for that? Is that right?
Right, yeah. You don't want to put nitrogen down in the fall.
Yeah. Good morning, caller. You are next up on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you today?
Good morning. Another Bermuda question. Is it a good time to seed Bermuda in some spots where it's either died out in the winter or haven't quite spread and so forth?
Yeah, I think so. When the nighttime temperature is above 48 degrees, it's okay for that.
Yeah, we're going to have overnight lows in the 50s and 60s over the next week, so you should be good.
Should be okay. It'll take it, the cooler it is, the longer it'll take to germinate. So they say on the packaging we're from 10 to 14 days, and I would say at this point in time we're in the 14-day sprout range. So
okay.
So, yeah, it's okay.
Any preparation, special preparation?
You should have a good loose seed bed. In other words, a good fine textured surface on it. And it doesn't take a lot of Bermuda grass. Just 1 pound covers like 500 square feet. So.
Okay.
Some people mix it with sand when they put it on there, so just to make it easier to calibrate. But just be careful not to put. You don't really need to put too much on there.
Okay, great. And then, does it need a lot of water when you first put it on, or just
you want to keep it moist?
Okay.
And it's easier to keep it moist if the soil is loosened up. Before you get the seed will penetrate into the ground a little bit when you water it, and it's easier to keep it moist that way. So if you put an impact rotary sprinkler on it, you can do that just once a day, just enough to keep it not wet but just moist. It should do just fine.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Okay. Your first name?
Chris.
Chris.
Chris, okay. Thank you very much, Chris. Appreciate it, and good luck on a happy lawn this year.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, taking your calls this morning on Green Country Gardener, and caller, you are next up on the air. What can we do for you today?
Yes, I just called a minute ago, and you called me Roger. My name is John, but I still have a question for
you. Okay, well, thank you, John.
Is it too late to transplant Rosa Sharon, Hosses, and Camums?
Rosa Sharon, I've had luck transplanting that in July.
Okay.
The later in the year awake, the more of an impact it's going to have on its recovery time. So I would say it'll probably do better now than if you were to wait, say, a month from now.
Okay.
So be sure to get as much of the root as you can, especially if it's an established plant.
Okay. Okay. What about hostas and mums?
Hostas, a little late on hostas. They're going to wilt real bad. Hostas, I find, have a tendency not to come back up after they've been transplanted. So, until maybe next year. So.
Okay. Well, I planted some moonflower, some seed.
Yes.
And about a week and a half ago, and it hasn't come up yet. Is that hasn't germinated, I guess. Is that pretty common, or what do you say?
Moonflowers have a very tough skin on their seed, a very tough seed coat. And I find to use a Dremel tool or a file or a nail clip or something to nick it a little bit before you plant it. And maybe soak the seeds overnight when you plant it, and you'll have a little faster germination.
So in that case, I'm not going to do that because it's already in the ground. So
yeah. So at this point, they'll
come up, but it'll take a little longer.
Okay. Yeah. And I planted some of the clematis from the bulb, or I'm not sure what it is that I planted. I bought them in the store.
Yeah.
And they haven't come up either.
Clematis?
I mean, I've got numerous clematis in my yard. I've got four or five. But I've wanted to start some more on the new trellis. Uh-huh. And they haven't come up either.
They
and
should be up.
At the same time with the moonflower. Yep. They come up slow or something when they're planted from seed?
Clematis from seed?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Give it some time. It's going to need some warmth for it to grow.
Okay. So, in gardening, you never rush things, right?
Well, yeah. The things kind of go at their own pace sometimes. And
yeah.
You can't rush Mother Nature.
Thank you very much.
But if you know exactly where the clematis were planted, you might want to be leery of it and seeds or weeds that are coming up too, and be sure not to pull up your clematis seeds.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Very good.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call, and let's take one more before we take a break. Good morning, caller. You are next up on Green Country Gardener. What can we do for you today?
What I was wanting to know is what you can do about the dandelion flowers that comes up every year, or what? How can you get rid of that stuff?
Two things you can do. You can just sit back and enjoy them, or you can spray them with some just a broadleaf weed killer.
Of what?
A broadleaf weed killer.
Oh, okay.
It'll have a picture of a dandelion or something like that on the bag, so you're pretty obvious once you try to buy it.
They're fairly easy to control.
I just didn't like all that old fuzz stuff going around.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Blowing. As soon as you mow, it comes right back up.
Yeah, they do. They come right back up. I just pull mine up and eat them when I mow my grass.
Okay.
All right. All right. Thanks for calling.
Appreciate
that.
What
was your name? What was your first name?
Liz.
Thank you, Liz.
Thanks for calling.
Uh-huh. We appreciate your phone call. We'll take a break, and to finish up your phone calls on Green Country Gardener coming up in just 2 minutes.
The most important feature in a window is trust. So go with a name you know, Anderson, the time-proven choice found in more homes than any other. And Anderson is the brand rated by builders as the most weather-tight, highest quality, and most durable. 400 series windows and doors from Anderson, the most trusted name in windows. See Anderson Windows and Doors at Overly Woods Lumber Company on Knowater Road in Bartlesville.
Mark your calendar for Mother's Day weekend and head to the Mullendore Crossbell Ranch for the 2018 The Good, the Bad, and the Barbecue, Saturday night, May 12th. More than 800 people were there last year, and I'm inviting you to come to the barbecue and hear the Tulsa Playboys featuring Shelby Eicher. There'll be live and silent auctions, and I can nearly guarantee you'll find something to bid on. It's Elder Care's biggest fundraiser, so reserve your table of eight or get your tickets now. Call Elder Care, 918-336-8500, or go online to eldercarebbq.com.
Are you turning 65 and trying to decide what you should do about Medicare? Are you signed up for Part D? Should you sign up for Part B? Do you buy a Medicare supplement or a Medicare Advantage plan? Hello, this is Kerry Hall, America's healthcare advocate. If all that sounds confusing, that's because it is. My staff at Benefits by Design can take the confusion out of Medicare by explaining your options and letting you decide which one is right for you. Call today for more information, 913-385-2224, 913-385-2224.
Did you know that people born from 1945 to 1965 have the highest rates of hepatitis C, but most don't know they're infected? People can live for decades without symptoms, but over time, hepatitis C can cause serious health problems, including liver damage and even liver cancer. If you were born from 1945 to 1965, The CDC recommends that you get a blood test for hepatitis C. So talk to your doctor about getting tested. It could save your life. A message from the CDC.
Open up the champagne. 800-749-5936, the telephone number to get you on Green Country Gardener. We've got about 2.5 minutes yet to go. We'll see how much we can get in. Good morning. You are next up on with Larry Glass. What can we do for you today? Good morning, caller.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, I want to have an echo. I was wanting to know on the wisteria. Mine have been trimmed, and then I was in the hospital, and my husband didn't trim them, and they don't look like they're even going to bloom this year. Is it too late to prune them now?
Not really. They should be setting blooms. I noticed some variability in the onset of blooms in wisteria for this year because it was a rather odd winter. Thank you, Charlie. And it was hot and cold and hot and cold. So give it just a little. Is it really leafing out right now?
No, it just little teeny tiny leaves.
Okay. Keep an eye on it. It is, if it might be in an area that's maybe perhaps a little bit cooler, perhaps shielded from the hot afternoon sun, give it just a little bit more time to see if it develops flowers before you cut it back. I don't like to trim back wisteria until after it's bloomed every year.
Also, on your mahogany, and that's not what I'm trying to think of. you told someone last week, I guess it was, that to put salt in the ground around this tree that I'm talking about. Magnolia. Goodness sakes, I couldn't remember.
it wasn't salt, it's Epsom. Magnesium sulfate.
Epsom salt.
I'm sorry, I can't.
Epsom salt, like you'd buy at the drugstore, except this is a garden supply. It's the same thing.
Don't ever put salt around your plants, but you put Epsom salt on it.
Okay.
Which is magnesium sulfate.
Now, is that the same, I have a star magnolia too.
The star magnolias don't have.
It doesn't seem to do much. Blooms just a short while and they're gone.
Yeah, that's typical. They kind of cut and run on the blooms. But star magnolias are a different animal than the Magnolia grandiflora. So the application of Epsom salt really doesn't do much to the star magnolia.
Thank you very much. We're over time. Larry, who's our winners this morning?
Oh, golly. Gee, we're all out of time. Okay. Let's see. Tim, Sharon, and Chris.
Okay.
I already pulled the name out of the pickle barrel. Okay, Charlie, keep your shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
Thank you. Residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ.